Sirenauts, and welcome to this week's episode of Observations. I am your host, Sovereign Sire, and I'm brought to you by the good or not so good people at julieland.com. And as always, I'm joined by the wonderful Mr. Richard Avery, a legend in his own mind.
So am I one of the good or not so good?
You're probably the not so good, because you're pretty cranky.
Exactly.
And
it's constipation.
It's all the drugs. Yeah. The scripts.
Yeah, it's the Vicodin. You know, Vicodin does make you constipated.
Does it?
Yeah, it does.
I don't know. I'm not a big downer person.
It makes me so sick.
Yeah. I want just so uppers nauseous. And speed. Yeah. And we are here with Steve. Say it.
A-G.
A-G. Yeah. Because I want to see A-G-I. I want to make it very bougie. Yes.
I believe the...
Fancy.
The it sounds A-G like you... name is French, so in France, I think it's A-G.
A-G.
I was going to say... because
that makes sense. I'm French.
I was going to say you were going to make it like French-Canadian. A-G.
I mean, my mom's French, so I mean, it's like I have a tendency to do all of that. I always want to read everything that way.
You make everything French.
You hear it in your ear.
Yeah.
And you just kind of, you know... anyway, hi, how are you?
I'm good.
We're doing segment two. What are you looking for on your phone?
I'm looking for an old photo.
So we've been talking a lot about music, and when we left off last time, so you were at the Groundlings, and you got sort of voted off the island.
Yeah.
Rather unfairly.
I didn't get a rose.
It sounded kind of fucked up. So what did you do then?
At the time, it was devastating. When you're at a place almost every day that you absolutely love, and then one day they call you and they're like, you can't come in anymore.
How common is that for someone to
not make
it?
It's extremely common.
Okay.
But like all those years, all that money.
I was wondering, so it's incredibly competitive to get
voted
to continue.
Yeah.
So part of you had to have expected that was
the higher up you go, the more your chances of, you know, I don't want to say failure because... looking back, it was probably the best thing that ever happened to me.
So how many people were able to go on after that?
I think, to create context. You know, I think like four.
Out of?
I was going to say, the four that went on, it's like, are they famous now, I hope?
Maya Rudolph was one of them.
Okay.
She's not famous.
Some writer people. My friend Emily Spivey, who now writes for Last Man on Earth, and she was a writer on SNL.
And out of how many? So that was four out of...
The people that did go on definitely deserved
to
go on.
Yeah, but out of how many?
Like, I don't know, 15 to 20 of us.
Okay, so that's like pretty...
Yeah.
So what did you do then at that point? Like, did you just feel demoralized?
I went into severe depression because I had been working there. I had been hanging out there. My girlfriend at the time managed to talk me into going to a therapist, which I really needed to see, and it was the best thing I've ever done. I fucking love therapy now.
Yeah.
It's fucking the best move. And she was like, you should go see a therapist. You're depressed. I was like, yeah, but it'll pass. I feel fine. She's like, no, you should see one. And I was like, all right, I had a healthy childhood. I don't think I need to see one. I don't know what we're going to accomplish with this. And within 5 minutes of my first session, I was bawling in front of this stranger. She's like, so where are you from? What's your family like? And I was just immediately in fucking tears for a full hour. She's like, all right, that's our time. And I was like, can we please keep talking? She's like, nope. She's like, come back next week. I was in it. I fucking was in it. I loved therapy.
Me too. I went for 5 years and it taught me so much.
Me
it
too.
Taught me. That's what I went for. I said, I just need, nobody ever taught me anything. So I had to learn, and I learned, my therapist was amazing. And it was that kind of experience. You're like, yeah, I got this. And you get in there, you're like, oh my God.
It's fucking crazy with a good therapist what you can find out about yourself.
Yeah. And it makes you better.
So then what happened? So you were in depression.
So I started doing show. I would go to small theater companies and do, you know, plays and small improv companies. And I just did that until I eventually met a guy who hooked me up with that play where I met Sarah.
Right.
And the rest is kind of history. But it was, I mean, I wouldn't be where I am if I hadn't gotten kicked out. It's so not till you look back where you're like, oh, yeah, everything happens for a reason.
Were you doing stand-up the whole time that you were doing the Groundlings, or was that kind of on the back burner? And
that was definitely on the back burner. If an opportunity came up, I would do it, but I wasn't, like, pursuing it.
So when did you kind of start doing stand-up more? Or is that something you do now?
I mean, yeah, I still I do it a lot now. I do it a lot now. I didn't really start doing it steadily till probably, you know, 2007 or 2008 when Sarah's show started, and she would go to do shows and I would go open for her, and then clubs would just start saying, "Hey, you want to come do a set?" And I was like, "All right." And it just kind of happened.
Right.
That's so cool. It's so weird though. Like we're like almost like I feel like we're doing an episode of This Is Your Life right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And here's your third grade teacher.
Jesus Christ, you're alive.
Or like here's the general that was in charge of that school.
The military.
But it's like I feel what's so funny is what you're saying about all these things to me. There's this common thing that now you're looking back now, kind of at the time this all sucked, but now you look back and kind of go, well, fuck, it happened.
It paid off.
Yeah. It all paid off in some way or another. So does that apply to today's things when you're doing stuff today? You're like, you don't like freak out as much because you know that, you know what?
Oh, yeah. I am so, there was a time going into auditions, going into gigs, I would be so nervous. I didn't want to fuck up. I didn't want to get fired. And now I, you know, knowing what I know now, I go into these things just like whatever happens, happens, you know? If I don't get a job at an audition, it's not because I'm not good enough. It's because they saw 50 fucking people who look like me, who look like slobs. That's what I'm auditioning for all the time. I'm auditioning for homeless guys or the sloppy brother. And there's a million of us in LA. So I know it's
there's a
just,
lot.
You know, yeah. Sometimes it's the last person they see who's still on their mind.
Yeah.
So you just got to not let it bother you.
Yeah, I tend to be that way too now at this point with like a lot of stuff where it's like I always find that like when I get if I pitch an idea for an essay or something or whatever and it gets declined, I tend to look forward to that because inevitably it makes me feel angry and then I'll go out and like pitch it to five and it'll end up somewhere else. Or, you know, if I have an idea that gets rejected one place, you know, in the course of telling my friends, like, I lost this thing. So inevitably, someone goes like, oh, but I have this thing over here. It's like, it almost seems to like always lead to something else because it's like the anger or the sadness or the embarrassment kind of is this motivator towards like
I've gotten to the point in my career now in shooting and creating that I always tell people the character I identify the most to nowadays is if you saw the movie Wag the Dog.
Oh, I love Wag the Dog.
Dustin Hoffman's character.
Yeah.
Like, you think this is bad. Try this. You know, this happened on this. Like, it's kind of like my attitude.
I heard he's based on Robert Evans, too.
Yes. Yeah. And I actually met Robert Evans. I interviewed him.
Oh, my God. Years ago. That's somebody I would love to meet.
And can I tell the funny story? I mean, I'm doing it. I tried to do a documentary on Andrew Blake. You know who Andrew Blake is?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm trying to do a documentary on Andrew Blake. And Andrew says to me, he's telling me all these, dropping all these names of people I should interview. And he says, Robert Evans. I said, do you think he really would meet with me? And I got to dig up that footage. And I said, And I go to his house and his butler answers the door, the whole thing.
Yeah.
And I sit him down at the couch. We get all set up. And I ask him like one simple question. What's erotic to you?
And he just talked for an hour. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. An hour later. Question number two.
I've heard the greatest thing is the audio version of his book, The Kid Stays in the Picture, because he reads it himself, and I've heard
so
it's
good.
Amazing.
He is all that and more.
He is Hollywood.
But that's how
so
I feel
Hollywood.
These days.
Explain to me who Robert Evans is.
Producer.
Famous producer. He produced the Godfather movies.
Okay.
Like he's a powerful
See
dude.
See his documentary. Okay. See his documentary. You'll love it.
What's it called?
The Kid Stays in the Picture. Yeah.
What is that a reference to? Because I've heard that before. But what is that?
I think it's just because he was a kid and he gets in the business. He's from like nowhere and nothing. And
he's what you stereotypically think of as a Hollywood producer. You know, just this big, you know, larger than life kind of, you know, living life to the fullest, drugs and, you know, he's produced some great movies, you know. Just the Godfather movies alone.
Yeah, but it's like after all these years, he's like this legendary, the stories about him in general, you know, whether it was the stuff what little I have heard of, like, you know, the things that he used to hang out with Warren Beatty and it's all the sex, drugs in the 70s and all that crazy shit that went on.
I just saw Bullworth two nights ago.
Great movie.
Yeah.
Great
it was,
movie.
like a weird time capsule.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like, great movie. Funny as shit.
Yeah.
Great, and a great performance. But like Robert Evans is that like, you just have to like IMDb him and you'll see his list of things that he's done. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Is he an actor or a producer only?
Like, producer.
He's a producer.
Yeah. Okay.
But like just a character, like a million. And that's why I said Wag the Dog. Dustin Hoffman's character, just that whole mentality, you know, you think this is tough, well what about this, and like kind of like I feel about that now. It's like, oh, we're having a problem here, you know, so and so girl doesn't show up, or, and you're like, ugh, whatever, you think that's tough, what, this is tougher, and just get another girl and we'll be fine. And you know, I don't know, I just feel like after these years, and some kind of, I was going to say, is like at that point, are you at that point in your career where you're kind of guy going, yeah, I didn't get it, but whatever, it could,
yes, something else always comes along.
Yeah.
And it, I mean, the saying, learn from your mistakes, is couldn't be more accurate. I mean, because we all make mistakes, and it's just moving on from them and learning from them. And also just, especially in any business, just be a good person. Be someone that, you know, you would want to work with. Don't be a fucking asshole. People remember that. I have a recurring part on New Girl because... After getting kicked out of Groundlings, I was doing sketch comedy with a group of friends. One of them was this guy, Fred Goss, who his wife runs a commercial casting agency, and we would rehearse in their office at night, and he would occasionally direct commercials. And this was in the 90s, and now he directs sitcoms, and I just got a call out of nowhere, you know, like, 3 years ago, where he's like, hey, I'm directing an episode of New Girl. There was a part that we were trying to cast, and I was like, oh, Steve Agee, you'd be great. And they were, and one of the producers on that show used to produce the Sarah Silverman show. She's like, oh my God, yeah, that's a great idea. Let's bring him in. And just became a recurring part.
Wow.
And I owe it to, you know, to Fred, who, you know, I hadn't seen in like 10 years. So it's like, you don't want to burn bridges.
Yeah, did he bring you in because you owed him $20 and he wanted to get it back finally?
He didn't even bring me in. It was just like, show up tomorrow and be a homeless guy.
Exactly. No, like, I have a history show on YouTube on this channel called Wisecrack, which does a really popular show called Thug Notes. It's like edutainment, like humor, educational humor. And the way that I got that show... And, like, I write it, star in it, everything. Yeah. And the way I got that was because I used to just retweet their episodes and tweet it.
Yeah.
Them like, I love this show. It's so amazing. And it was, like, and then they got a grant from YouTube to make, like, a humanities.
Yeah.
Like, more humanities programming.
Yeah.
And they just reached out and they're like, hey, we see, like, you're a porn star, but you're really smart. Like, do we have to do humanities things? Is that something that's interesting to you? And I'm like... And I was like, I actually happen to be a history buff. Like, yeah, like I have tons of material and like a great knowledge base for that. Like, let's do something. And it totally just came from being like engaging online and just kind of, you know what I mean? Like them feeling like I'd be someone cool to work with.
Yeah.
So, and that was totally random. I mean, it was an opportunity I got from like just being interested in the things I'm interested
in. Should,
and, like,
yeah, you should, you know what I mean? Like, everyone should just be the person that they would want to work with.
Yeah.
I've said that for 35 years.
It's the whole do unto others.
I tell people all the time, treat people the way you want. Because through the years, I would meet people 30 years ago who were the assistants answering the phones. And I always tell all my friends, my assistants.
They'll be running the show.
And now half of them are VPs, if not presidents of record labels or TV studios or this or that. Like, you never know. That one day that person's the intern, the next day the person's the photo editor. So you just better be nice. And it's funny because... It's happened so many times where I can give you a list of 20 people right now that I can think of that happened to.
Well, just remember, like, this is like stupid pop culture reference, but like that Kim Kardashian used to be like Paris Hilton's weird, like sidekick. I know it's like a stupid, like, cause I don't even care about pop culture, but I saw a meme of that like 2 or 3 days ago that was like, remember this? And I was like, oh yeah, that's right. She used to be like this weird kind of girl in the, not weird, but just kind of, nobody in the background
sidekick
of Paris Hilton's, and like now who gives a shit about Paris Hilton and Kim Kardashian, like one of the most famous women in the world.
Yeah,
yep.
It's kind of crazy.
It's very true, but I think what happens, I think especially in Hollywood, and I'm sure you experience this, is that you do, people move around a lot from company to company or show to show. And, and if I always tell people, if you're going to go on a set or a show, you better be nice, because you, like you said, you could be on one show and that doesn't last, and they might remember you for another show.
Yeah,
like, it just it's just the way it works in this town. And that's why my rule number one in the Julie Land universe is be nice.
Yeah, I've been to a million auditions where the casting director will say, you're not quite right for this, but I'm going to get you in on something. And 99% of the time, I never hear from them again. But every once in a while, it's like, oh, yeah, that casting director wanted to see you again. And boom.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's how often do you audition still?
Maybe a couple times a week.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's a lot.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
How long has it been like that you audition that much?
A long time.
So you're
since
like,
Sarah's show, I mean, I get auditions easily. It's, you know, it's just now it's on me to book them to like be good in them.
Do you have any desire to have your own show or anything like that?
Yeah, I would. I'd like it. I mean, when we did the Sarah Silverman program, she was the main character, obviously, and me and my friend Brian Posehn, another stand-up comedian, played her gay neighbors. And so we were always the B story. And, you know, we would shoot, you know, two episodes a week simultaneously. So if one episode had, or if both episodes had scenes in the cafe that we always shoot in, we would shoot them all on the same day for both episodes. And Sarah being the main character, she was working almost every day, like 15, 16-hour days. But Brian and I, being the B story, we'd work like 2, maybe 3 days a week, and it was the best. It's a great being like second banana on a show is like the best gig.
It's good money,
but I mean, you reap more benefits, you know, being the main
as like the driver of the show.
Yeah,
but like, have you ever? I'm assuming you write and stuff like that. Have you said to yourself like, I'm going to write my own show about what I want to write about, and I want to be the star and done
yep.
all that?
Yep, I've got all those scripts.
I was going to say, it seems like because a lot of the guests that you've had here have done that, right?
Yeah, seems like almost everyone's like a writer or it's like has a pilot.
Well, any agent you have now or go to interview with now, you know, still when I go to meet with my agents or managers, I'm like, hey, I haven't been getting a lot of auditions lately or been auditioning for the wrong kind of stuff. Everyone will tell you the same thing. You need to write your own show.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a performer, you should be coming up with ideas to pitch your own show.
Yeah.
You know, if you're not getting work, you should make work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Makes sense.
I recently did that. I had one thing fall through, and then a producer came up and was like, do you want to develop a thing around you? And so I've been doing that, like in that process. But it's kind of like the same principle of like, oh, that thing fell through. Like, I'm totally interested in producing something around you. Like, so... Yeah,
I think that I tell people that all the time, like especially if you have
and it's easy because it's you.
Yeah, no, and you have
you know you better than anybody.
Yeah, like it's very easy to like you know. I think in like a weekend, I had a pitch, a treatment, and like 11 episode like arc. Somewhere
good.
Or whatever. Yeah,
I think that's what you have to do. I keep saying to everybody, like if somebody's not going to hire you to do the job, then just create the job yourself.
Yeah,
yourself.
Well, what do you think of like having been in as long as you have? What do you think of sort of the development of Vine stars and Twitter stars? And is that these kinds of new ways that people are sort of finding?
I mean, it's weird. I have never felt more old than I currently do with like stuff like Vine and Snapchat. Cause I'm understanding less and less about these things getting shorter and shorter. I mean, I was doing Vine for a long time, like really into it and was really popular on it. And then I was just like, how many 6-second jokes can I come up with? And there are people that earn a living doing Vine, that make thousands of dollars a month being sponsored for their Vines.
Now, we talk about it a lot. We've had a few guests here where we talk about how social media has become a new currency.
Yeah.
You know, how having numbers and having X amount of followers. I mean, and now I actually saw, and there's an agency out there. I saw their website where they represent hot girls and they represent them specifically for like we would pay you to money so that you would always do your selfies with Perrier and,
right.
Yeah,
they're there to plug.
Yeah.
Oh, no,
the girls have like, you know, 10,000 followers or 100,000 followers. So So the company pays them to always have their product in the picture.
Yeah.
I'm friends with Gabby Dunn. I don't know if you know who that is.
Name's
she's
familiar.
She's a YouTuber, but she's also like a writer and does storytelling and stuff like that. So she's also like kind of in the community in terms of, and definitely like on sort of writer Twitter or comedy Twitter. But I was at lunch with her yesterday and I was like, explain to me the ecosystem of YouTube and how that works. And she was talking about, like, so her and her friend do this show that's not quite a vlog. It's kind of, they do sketches and things, and it's like, but a consistent sort of like weekly show of these two girls kind of, or whatever. And it's like, so they have an agency that basically says, we have this show with this many, she got subs, subscribers. Mm-hmm. And that agency sort of then shops them to advertisers and says, so okay, we have these girls, they have this many subscribers on YouTube, and then they're basically like, you know, when you watch YouTube and the ads come up, it's like they basically control what those ads are, and so it's like their agency gets paid and then their agency pays them. But this is how people have like monetized YouTube, which is why I was saying we should get the podcast going on YouTube, because like it is like, there's people, there's YouTubers that, I mean, are making like $250,000 a year.
Yeah, but that, again,
doing vlogs.
For every person that's doing that, there's 10 million that aren't.
Or,
you know what I mean? There's so much there, and it's that's the hardest thing of all. I keep saying to everybody, and is like, for every one success story, there's like 10 million that are doing stuff that nobody notices and nobody cares, because there's just so much of everything right now.
But then there's also like littler successes. My friend had put a web series on YouTube, and it maybe only has, each episode maybe only has like 2,000 to 3,000 views, but for whatever reason it managed to get picked up by the LAist, and LA Weekly is like sort of the TV, like web TV show to watch.
Yeah,
it was only like 8 episodes long. It was like each thing was like maybe 5 minutes.
Yeah,
but it kind of got picked up as like, this is a thing you should be checking out. And then through that, she got interest in her developing that into like a full length sitcom for TV. And so that came from YouTube, even though it wasn't necessarily like wildly popular on YouTube. It was just kind of like the right eyes fell on it.
Yeah.
And it became like this opportunity.
For me, the last few years, I don't know if you watch it, but for me, the best show on the internet and the best usage of the internet for a show is Jerry Seinfeld's show.
Oh, Comedians and Cars Getting Coffee.
I think every episode is amazing.
Yeah.
Even the worst one is still good. But like, I think when I think of the internet and how it should be done for shows, I think that's like the model, not that it should be an interview thing, but just the quality, the consistency, and it's advertised, it's got a sponsor.
Yeah.
Like everything about that is like, that's the pinnacle of how it should
be
done. And
it's a hugely popular show too.
I don't even know what their numbers are, but it's gotta be huge.
They're huge.
Well, it's even stuff like Broad City started as like a
web Workaholics.
Portlandia started as Thunder Ant.
No, did it really?
It started as Thunder Ant, which was like just a web series that Fred and Carrie were doing, like for a long time, I guess.
Yeah,
and then that got kind of optioned onto and turned into Portlandia. But it was. I mean, conceptually, like some of the characters are even the same. I mean, like it's like some of the sketches, like the two women that women and women first bookstore, like that was on Thunder Ant.
Well, back in the early 2000s, me and my friends were doing this thing called Channel 101, which is a monthly short film festival, but they treat each short as a television pilot. The rules are you have to make something in the style of like a TV, where if it got picked up, you could do more episodes of this. It had to be under 5 minutes long. So people would make a 5 minute short. Then they'd show it once a month, like the last Saturday of the month. Audiences would come. It started at like Toy, the Thai food place, when, you know, in 2003, when it was just like 15 of us. And then it went to CineSpace on Hollywood.
Right.
Because it got bigger. And now it's at the Downtown Independent, you know, an actual movie theater. And it was, you know, people would come once a month. They would watch the 10 short films, and then they'd hand out ballots and the audience would vote their 5 favorites, and so the top 5 favorites would then get to make sequels, a second episode, and that's how the thing ran. And this was responsible for, you know, the Lonely Island guys, Andy Samberg and his partners, came out of Channel 101.
Oh, wow.
Went to SNL. So many people came out of there. And
that's awesome.
Yeah. So you never know. You really never know when you're...
Well, I think like the best advice I got when I was... I've known Matt Berry for a long time, maybe 6 or 7 years, mm-hmm. I want to say. Like, before I was even... as like maybe a model on God's Girls. I interviewed him. I interviewed him for God's Girls. It's like there was a section where we could interview bands, and I was like, "Can I interview a comedian?" And then I reached out to him on Twitter, like, and was like, "Hi, I just love Garth Marenghi's Dark Place."
Yeah,
and
who doesn't?
Like, can I just ask you 10 questions? And he was like, "Sure." And then I think a few months later, he came to New York for like a wedding or whatever, and we met up like in person and just became really good friends, mm-hmm. like sort of in a. Some of the best advice he gave me is, he's like, you know, that everything that he's had is because came from just loving to create stuff. And so he was always just doing things.
Yeah.
And that like eventually it's, you know what I mean? Like just because he was always making songs and he was always making shorts and he was always doing voiceovers for friends. And like, because he was just always doing, after a while, there was just this body of work sort of floating out there. And like eventually that kind of led to being like lifted up with the tide.
You should never let people say what you want to do is a bad idea. Because I'm sure on paper, Garth Marenghi's Dark Place was a horrible idea.
God, pitching something have you ever seen something so beautifully executed?
You want to do this show that's like purposely low budget where you see the floating things, you see them on strings, and like that sounds like a horrible idea.
Fill in the blanks with Polaroids.
Yeah.
I've never seen something so brilliantly and gracefully executed as Garth Marenghi's Dark Place.
One of the greatest shows ever.
Yeah. But I always remember that, like whenever I feel, and he's sort of like whenever I have a disappointment or this or that, he's the person that I'll sort of text and be like, what do I do? Like, you know more about these things. And he's always like, just keep doing stuff. Just keep making things.
My attitude always has been just keep moving forward.
Yeah.
Yep.
Just keep moving forward. I always say I move slower now than I ever have, but I'll still keep moving forward. Yeah. I'll have to crawl.
It's kind of like, I think that, you know, the irony of social media is like, now there, it is easier than ever to kind of get your voice out there, but you're out there with, you know, hundreds of thousands of other voices.
A lot,
because there's no gatekeepers anymore, which is like good and bad.
But that also goes back to the fact that why you have to be good and you have to be consistent, and that's why you have to stick with it, because sooner or later the cream will rise to the top. And then, and so when you do get noticed, if and you're writing this stuff and Steven Spielberg calls you and says, "I like what you're doing," you better be ready.
Right.
Otherwise, and you go into that meeting and you fail, or your material doesn't back up. You've got to be ready. Because when opportunity does knock, you better be ready.
I mean, I've had these things happen just on the strength of, like, on the strength of one episode of Boss Bitches of History, getting texts from people like, "You wrote that? Yeah, I wrote that. Do you want to try to write this thing?" Like, I mean, that was like on the strength of one episode, and it was just, you know what I mean? It was just kind of like people texting me like, "I didn't know you did that."
Yeah.
Now that I know you did that, like, here's like 5 other things. Do you want to try to do that? Because, you know, we need someone. And it's kind of, so it's been very serendipitous, just even that much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doing great.
Well, with that, let us conclude then. We've given away all the secrets to.
So now everyone listening to this should be very successful soon. We gave out all the secrets.
All the cliched secrets. If you love it, do it. Does it make you feel
good?
Just
hang in there.
Do you like to act?
Yeah.
And, there's some stand up that's like a great thing about that. Do you love? I think it's Maria Bamford. Do you love it?
Probably, yeah.
God, I love her.
She's the best.
Yeah, she's kind of amazing. Well, thank you, Steve Agee. I'll never get it right.
It's because you're French.
I barely learned how to say Delia. I used to say Delia.
Delia.
It took me forever, like 3 years of knowing someone.
Unless their name is Smith, it's going to be hard for me to pronounce.
Yeah. But can you tell people where to find you, et cetera?
Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all the social networking. It's at Steve Agee, all one word. You can find me once a month at the Baked Potato with my show Baked, stand-up and music. And,
that's all right. It. And you all know where to find me on Twitter, at Sovereign Sire, and on my website, ilovesov.com, and julielandradio.com. And you can find me on YouTube on the Wisecrack channel with my new show, Boss Bitches of History.
Watch it.
Thank you. Bye, guys.